All right. Welcome to Skirt to Get Ready with Az is 2016 in beautiful, humid Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
Jonathan
goodness.
Lewitt. Anviv, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Now, you're a new chair. What's your position?
Yes, yeah, so I'm the chair for the communications committee.
Okay, and you work for Pelco.
Yes.
And this is your chair position with Anviv.
Correct.
And explain to our viewers who haven't seen this before what Anviv does.
So Anviv is a standards body for the security industry. Our focus is on creating standards to connect IP devices within the security industry.
Right.
Our initial focus was all around video devices.
But
we've expanded. We have two profiles now that cover access control. So we're really trying to capture anything in the security space that has an IP connection. We want to be able to standardize how you can connect to those devices.
Now, how's that going with the new standards? It's just starting out, I assume.
Yeah. It's going pretty well. So I think we're getting a lot more traction with the video stuff now since we introduced the profile concept.
Right.
With the access control piece, I think there's some more work to do to get some critical mass. There's already been some entrenched SDK and go-to-market stuff with those companies, so we're waiting to kind of drive.
That's interesting because some people are in a dual space, right? I mean, some people do cameras and access control. So their access control division says, we don't want to play, but the camera guys do in some cases.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. And I think it comes down to they've already solved the problem. So we're asking them to essentially resolve the problem with Anviv.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So where you start to see the early adopters are actually kind of the new entrants, the people that are trying to make a stake in the access control space. The guys that are entrenched, they've already solved the problem, so
right.
It's a little bit slower to pick them up.
Well, so give us an idea on how, in previous shows, we've talked about those standards for the cameras. We have Profile Q,
mm-hmm.
which is now the Q for quick,
yes.
or kind of an instant, almost like a plug-and-play profile, right?
Yeah.
Would you have that sort of profile for an access control system? Or is that a different application?
It's a little bit different. On the access control side, I think we've tried to bake that into the two profiles that we have today. What happened with the video piece is it's kind of evolved organically. So first off, the profile concept was a pretty important initiative that we spearheaded because we were seeing that even though we had standardized the protocol communication level with the Anviv specification, there was still a variance in how people implemented the features from a management system to a camera system. So when we introduced the profiles, what we wanted to do is say, great, we've identified the protocol that you can use to talk to each other, but let's now standardize the expectation of functionality that exists between two devices. So Anviv Profile S defines a set of streaming functionality that you must have in place in order to say that you're compliant. We no longer do certifications based on the Anviv specification. You have to be compliant to a profile.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And that helps make sure that everybody's talking the same language and
right.
everybody has the same expectations. So Profile S, very focused around the basics of streaming. But that left a gap in the initial connectivity phase, the install phase. There was, again, a variance in how people discovered cameras, how they found the IP addresses, they set up usernames and configurations and got them connected to the systems. So Profile Q was charged with solving that variance, and it has. So now it's much easier to connect up to Profile Q compliant systems or a system and a device and get that system up and running. The benefit is, from an installer standpoint, you're saving gobs of time.
Oh,
now you have a consistent way to pull up cameras and video systems. From an end user standpoint, you're now saving money because your installer is spending less time configuring your system. And then, again, from the manufacturer side, we're saving time because you don't have to develop 15 or 16 or however many different implementations.
Or fixes, right. I mean,
yeah,
call customer service. I was like, I got this live stream box here, right? And Livestream sets a standard and says, our Livestream box works with these cameras and, with these power supplies and with these Wi-Fi hotspots. And I called them and said, but I got this other camera. Well, we're not saying it won't work. We're saying that one works for sure. And I go, can I get a better answer than that? Right? I mean, it's a little frustrating, right?
Right.
It's a big investment. And I had to do a big workaround and have a lot of customer service, which they're the best at. They're just like Apple. They're really, really good, right? But it took me a long time to get this $4,000 camera to plug into this live stream box. And it works perfectly when it works, right?
Yeah.
So I, when I was doing this setup, I was thinking of you guys, and I'm going, I wish I had an Onvis standard for my Sony and my live stream box, right? Because I just know the hours and hours of frustration I went through. So I can imagine, if you got 500 cameras,
yeah,
and you plug it in, you go, well, they're not talking to each other. It's an insurmountable problem. So, I mean, Onvis eliminates that stuff by coming up with these standards. How many people you got in there now for cameras? How many people in the organization?
So, overall, Onvif is about 500 members
strong. About 500, right,
yeah.
Still, okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you adding new members, additional members, with the access control piece?
So we do see some new members coming in, but right now we're seeing the membership base hovering right around 500.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are we doing with smart cities? You guys are working on something with smart cities now, right?
Yeah. So the smart city initiative is really focused on expanding the types of devices that we connect. So again, started out focusing on video, but really leveraging now that IoT mentality.
I know,
right?
My refrigerator. I'm afraid my refrigerator is going to spy on me and tell secrets, right? I mean, if you can get into my refrigerator, you can get into something like your home computer.
Exactly.
In theory, right.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually, so we focused on that as well. We started with Profile Q in specifying some of the baseline security protocols. Make sure you have those implemented.
Right.
But we're going to continue that as well. We're trying to take some cues from what the industry is doing right now, rather than going out and leading and saying, here's what you have to do. We want to let the industry kind of figure it out. And then once the solution is defined, we'll pick that and try to standardize on that for everybody.
Okay. So tell me why end users and consultants should be care about Onvif. I get the manufacturers do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the manufacturer is serving that base. But do you get the consultants and the end users understanding who Onvif is and participating from that level?
Yeah, so I think there is some work that we need to do to get that message out a little bit more. But the end result is it gives them increased flexibility, so they can pick the right solution for their job rather than being locked into any particular any particular company. And then it gives them confidence that when they pick the solution, they can evolve, they can pull in additional products as necessary. If they want to augment their portfolio with some niche product that company XYZ has, they know that if that company is Onvif compliant and their baseline system is Onvif compliant, they can connect those systems together.
Do you think the consumer, I know intuitively the consumer wants that process to be there and to work and to be easy. Do you think they know that that's what Onvif does? You know what I'm saying? If you're a manufacturer, I think you say, I got to make mine a standard camera for everybody. But do you think the consumer does? Because I think that's a big part of making it more successful. You
know yes, what I mean? I think it absolutely is a big part. And we are starting to see some increase in Onvif being noted in specifications that go out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it actually becomes a piece of the specification to say you have to be Onvif compliant.
Right.
So that the specifier is then saying, yeah, as you put together the system, you want to be able to make sure you have that flexibility down the road.
Are you finding system designers are coming to you and saying, I'm designing a system for Sony Studios, and we're going to have Onvif cameras in here and be compliant. Are you finding people at that level are starting to get this concept?
Yeah, so I can tell you from my other job working with Pelco, we do see that a lot. Yeah.
Oh, good.
The challenge I think that we have is still getting some of the new work that we've done out there with the profiles to standardize the experience and help pull us forward above some of the negative connotations that Onvif had when it first came out.
I wasn't aware there was any. What?
Well, so some of the things that happened when Onvif was very focused on the specification level, you'd have company A come in with their VMS and they'd say, we're compliant with the Onvif standard. And then company B would come in with their cameras and they'd say, we're compliant with the Onvif standard. So everybody'd say, oh, great, everything's good. You sell the project, you go to install it, and then they didn't talk to each other, or they didn't talk to each other with the same types of functionality that people were expecting.
Oh, okay.
Because they'd implemented the specification slightly differently.
Oh.
We've solved that problem with the profiles.
Oh, good, good.
So now you can define how you interpret the standard from a connectivity standpoint, but you have to have a certain set of functionality in place in order to say that you're Onvif compliant. You can't be compliant to the Onvif specification. You have to be compliant to an Onvif profile.
Oh, that makes more sense now. Okay.
Yeah, which now says you are telling everybody that you support this list of functionality.
Now, 500 members, big companies, that's a big global reach.
Yeah.
Give me an idea of what you think Onvif reaches globally. What's its influence in security around the globe?
Well, I think it is pretty big. So we have The global security industry is obviously very large, right? We've got big players in China. A lot of camera activity there, for sure. I mentioned specifications. So we know in Turkey, I think a lot of the specifications that are coming out of Turkey right now are stating right up front, must be an ONVIF compliant system.
Do you have any concerns about the global, overall security issues people facing with cyber terrorism and attacking? And this is becoming big, big business, right?
Yeah.
What's ONVIF doing to work on that part of it? I mean, if you set a standard, I get that part, but are you worried about members trying to join that are not well-intentioned members, so to speak,
Yeah, so I think from the security side and the standards, Profile Q was our first foray into that, where we defined the types of security standards you should have in place on the camera at install time. Beyond that, we were kind of taking a step back, and we're letting the manufacturers kind of sort out some of the cybersecurity technologies that are out there.
Oh, that's probably a good idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Individually, then it solves a whole. Yeah.
Right. Let them rationalize what makes sense. And a lot of those, or most of those companies are in our membership base, right?
Yeah.
So as they rationalize what works for them, they bring that into their working groups that we have set up. And then we have the discussions and we rationalize what we think makes sense from a standardization standpoint.
What's going on in 2017? Anything new and hot and exciting you guys are working on?
A big thing for 2017 is we'll be starting to talk more and more about our an additional streaming profile, which is going to cover some advanced technologies or advanced streaming capabilities. Also, we've created a new group we're calling the ONVIF Use Case Working Group. The focus there is really to streamline a lot of the communication gaps that we may have. And that goes internally and externally. You can start to think of this group as kind of a front-end marketing organization almost, where they're collecting feedback from the end user base and people that are deploying solutions with ONVIF, and they're turning those into specific use cases that we can then give to our working groups to say, as you're developing standards to cover various features or functionalities, these are the things that you want to solve with those. And then on the way out, once that solution is available, now we can go and take those same use cases and say, oh, Mr. Customer, Mr. Integrator, Mr. Manufacturer, here's what you can now do because we've implemented this new profile.
Sounds fascinating. I always love talking to you guys. You always have something really interesting to say.
Oh, thank you.
So, Jonathan, thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Jonathan of ONVIF, you're the new chair. What's your title?
Yes, I'm the chair of the communications committee.
And also work for the fabulous company of Pelco Schneider.
Yes, Pelco. Pelco's a great company.
Been around a long time.
They've been pretty good to me.
Had one of the first PTZs back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Hot technology back then.
It is. It's still hot. We're doing
old
a lot
mechanical.
Of things there.
Yeah, very good. John, thanks for coming on. It's good to get rid of.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
All right, very good.